Hello, and welcome back to Stories RPG, the podcast where we tell stories better together. I'm Michael Lowe, he, him pronouns, and I will be your teller and host today. And you can find me at luckoflegends.com, where, if you're into it, you can play these games with me online in my writing classes. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to the first of our researchers, Dan. Tell him who you are and who you're playing.
Hi there. My name is Dan. Pronouns are he, him. I'm available throughout the internet as almost bedtime theater, where I do various things with TTRPGs and with my kiddo. And today I will be playing Drip, a gnome with a magnificent hat that houses my companion Jinx, who is actually a swarm of tailor bees.
Woo-woo! Glyza, will you tell them who you are and who you're playing?
Hello, hello. I am Glyza, they, them, and I do a lot of things on the internet, and all of them can be found if you look for Classical Glyza. I'm the only Classical Glyza you'll find on the internet, so if you find a Classical Glyza, that's me. I am also the guide of From the Library, which is the longest-running Monster Care Squad actual play. Today, I will be playing Mr. Four, the lovable grandpa who just wants to learn all about Rifflings.
And don't forget your Floatipus. I love, by the way,
Floatipus.
From the Library is such a cool title.
I know, I'm jealous.
That's a great name for, yeah. Wow, it's so good.
You have my attention.
Yep. Dan, for anyone who doesn't know, Libraries and Dan, they go deep. There's a great game he made. All right, and then finally, last but most certainly not least, The illustrious Scriv. Who are you and who are you playing?
Hello, hello. I am Scriv the Bard. I use she, they pronouns. I am a family-friendly writer and game designer and one of the bears in Tattered Bear Publishing Company. And tonight, most importantly, I am playing Dilly, the thrill-seeking, always hungry Rifling researcher who enjoys exploring with Big Sis Dally, the crocodillo.
The crocodile. I like crocodiles as a concept. I'm very into them.
Yes.
Welcome, researchers, to a world of strange creatures, ancient secrets, and magic reborn. A world on the razor's edge between apocalypse and the chance of balance between civilization and nature. The world of Riftlings. All right, y'all. You are facing a drama clock. You are facing a Skreegull assault. They have appeared on the horizon and within moments descended upon the raft that you're on in an absolute flock. They've landed on the deck and have begun ripping open the boxes. They are harrying the passengers, and several have landed on or are circling around Ugloo and Bellu.
No.
Who both look like they are terrified. Unfortunately, Ugloo is tied to the barge, so when Ugloo dives to attempt to escape the Skreegulls, the entire barge gets pulled down into the waves. There's at least three kids in the water now, and the Skreegulls are flapping around, and people are screaming, they're running, and you, the Riftlings researchers, are faced with a difficult situation.
What are we going to do about these Skreegulls?
Can we talk about how many triumphs you want to go for? Because I was kind of going to go high. I was going to go for use
your specials. Good.
Has to be at least three, four if we're
four is right
going
out.
How about I roll a
four
d6
is
for it?
A little challenging. Five is let's go. Horrible things will happen and it'll be great.
I'm going to roll a d6 and let's see what it gives us.
I respect that. I respect that. Go for it.
I didn't touch it.
Wow, you're going to show us six, just isn't that
it?
Drama?
It's a five.
All right, let's go. Let's go. All right.
Okay.
So established. I'm going to. No, I love it. I'm 100% in.
I've doomed us.
I'm going to say that this difficult situation requires, thanks to Scriv's role.
I'm sorry. Much, Scriv,
five triumphs to overcome. This is tough.
Sweet.
Okay, you're in.
I'm in. And so is Mr. Four.
Yes.
A reminder, you have one move each, but you require five triumphs. Oh, so what this means is at least two of you must be able to move your roll up and get a double triumph. That's a lot. Do we feel comfortable with this? Like, I could give you one re-roll free, each of you, just to make life easier.
Let's do this. I think I have an idea.
Oh, okay. Is everybody cool with Dilly being the opener
it's
here?
It's my fault we're here.
I was just going to jump into the water and talk to the fish and calm the fish.
The fish?
Well, let's collaborate.
Yeah, so let's collaborate.
Yeah,
because
totally.
Crocodillos are amphibious. They can swim. Point. They can float in the water. So Dally can like help us be safely in the water and navigate. I was thinking we could get those kids out of the water.
I'm going to calm down Ugloo with
good call.
Grandpa. Yeah, with people trust my grandpa face, including Ugloo.
Grandpa vibes.
I'm going to try to calm Ugloo down so that she doesn't dive down.
You could also, just to remind you, you could cut the cords, which would allow her to dive without having to worry about the raft. Mm. So you saw the first thing that happened when Ugloo dived was that one of the Skreegles, in fact, two of them, flew down. One of them landed right on Ugloo's back and started tearing up the charnacles on Ugloo's back. So, and was attempting to rip one off, and Ugloo dove. Belu was slower, and one of the Skreegles landed on Belu and started ripping at the back, and you can see there's still like a lot of flapping going from over there. And Ugloo dove a little, but then also kind of pulled to the side to try to help her child. So that's what's going on. There are three kids in the water. The Skreegles are ripping open the casks. The mayor has whipped out his cane and is running at the Skreegles, swinging it and yelling and hollering. Like, you're a little like surprised by the level of ferocity Madrigal is showing. A lot of the passengers have just, you know, they're screaming and cowering. Some of them have dove into the water to try to get away from the Skreegles. There's a lot of chaos going on.
It sounds like we could solve the problem of the mist rays by cutting the cord so that they can escape for the time being. Because if they can just get underwater a bit, they're safe. Mm-hmm. Then we could focus efforts on, as you said, retrieving the people who are in the water.
Yeah.
I'm thinking as far as dealing with the Skreegles themselves, they're kind of reptilian, right? And they seem to have some pretty nasty bite strength. They're tearing into things. So things that have a really strong bite often have a very weak opening of the mouth.
Ooh, I like where you're going with this.
And I was thinking if they all had tube socks on their beaks, or maybe just ribbons to make it quicker, enough to disrupt things for them. So they decided they wanted to go harass something else. We don't have to be impossible to harass. We just have to be more trouble than we're worth.
So are you thinking like some little combat crochet action from Jinx?
Oh, I like that. Yes, combat crochet.
I'm down. Are you going to open with that? Or are you going to open with the cut? Glaza, sorry, go ahead.
No. I was just thinking how we could like do all three where we encourage, like we can basically like, one of us will do the cutting so that Ugloo and so that her baby will start diving. And then somebody else can do saving of the kids that are, you know, drowning. And the other one can start, you know, making stuff to start putting on the Skreegle. So I think we each have our own.
We can sequence this.
Yeah.
So Drip and Jinx, it sounds like you probably have the tube sock ribbon around.
Yes, we've got Skreegle duty.
All right, tell me how you're going to do this. Tell me what lines help you, and let's...
Okay, well, for us to be safely in the water, Dally needs to jump in.
Cool. Mr. Forrest is going to jump on Dally, and as soon as you start moving anywhere, almost even near, he is just going to jump. He's not going to wait.
We're a launch pad for you.
Yeah, it's mostly like bump, bump.
Like in a platformer video game, just wink, wink.
Parkour.
We need,
that's what Mr. Forrest is going to do, and he's going to shout it too.
Parkour.
Yes, please.
So Dally like dives into the water and kind of has to, because the Skreegles, the minute he hits the water, the Skreegles start dive bombing him. They're sort of circling around, and then there's a screaming plunge. One of them lands in the water, and Dally kind of rolls away, and you have to like catch your feet as you jump onto the back.
She's got her crocodillo armor. Unless they can tear apart crocodile plate armor, then I think she's okay.
You see one of them who has dove down, splashes into the water and throws up a huge spray, and then rises, surfaces, and has got one of the kids in its mouth.
Oh, no.
Nope.
It's got him by the back of his jacket, and you can see the kid going, ah! And, like, it's shaking him a little and kind of, like, it looks like it's kind of confused by what he is precisely. Drops him in the water and kind of pokes at him with his beak.
Okay.
Give me your roll and tell me what you're going to do here.
All right. So.
By the way, Mr. Four has leapt on behind you.
Perfect.
Yeah, yeah, Mr. Four is going to show. Mr. Four is an old millennial. So he remembers.
Older millennial.
And he parkours. He remembers the time of the parkour.
Mr. Four has become the channel for like all things anachronistic in a fantasy setting. He's like, my doctor says I'm not allowed to have gluten. Parkour! Like, I'm like, you. You are a window into a different universe, Mr. Four.
It was very popular.
It was all the rage back then.
And we parkoured everywhere.
Mr. Four parkours on. Dilly, you land. You see the Skreegull going after the kid. What's the move?
I might have to use my special beast moves.
Beast moves definitely get you one die. You got one on the table. Yeah. What else you got?
So my drive is that I'm a thrill seeker and love finding new things to explore and the experiences. That's a big one. So I've got a little bit of recklessness in me.
This is definitely a reckless move. Yes.
So it's also the bond I've got with Dally.
Okay, there you go. That's three dice. All right, let's see what goes down.
Oh, man. Come on, come on.
Two fives and a
That's
three.
That's not bad.
It's triumph with the
That's
trouble.
That's okay.
That means Dan and Gliza must score double triumphs.
I'm okay with failing at a drama clock.
Yeah.
Right on.
It's falling forward.
Okay, let's do it.
Like the way I've jumped off this raft. I'm falling forward.
So triumph with the trouble.
Yeah.
So Dally dives into the water.
Yeah.
You both leap onto Dally's back, Yahoo! Broad back with those nice big armadillo plates for you to stand on. It's definitely surfable. He snakes through the water. Mr. Four, you're able to leap off and onto Ugloo's back. Ugloo is under the water right now, so you have to grab onto the horn, and you're kind of dangling from one of the horns. Mr. Eight, by the way, has lifted up and is floating nervously above all of this, kind of looking torn between trying to pick you up and help you over and being too close to the water and also the Skreegulls, which clearly makes him uncomfortable. Dally like dives in, grabs a couple of the kids, opens his mouth hugely, and literally gulps all three of the kids, holds them in his mouth, and flips around and heads back to the raft. Meanwhile, people on the raft are screaming. They're convinced, like, one woman is going, "They ate my baby! They ate my baby!" And like Dally launches himself up onto the side of the raft, and like
she's
the whole thing shifts a little.
She's got a gentle touch. It's okay.
Well, and like everyone on board the raft is like, no!
Dilo ate my baby.
Barfs out the three kids. Land on the deck in like just a wash of seawater and like, because Dally just swallowed a big mouthful and then bleh.
Yeah, it's okay.
Here's the trouble. When Dally launches back onto the side of the barge, you go off the back because the Skreegull has picked you off of
Me?
Dally.
A mighty crocodillo that I am. It dares lift me.
The lightest crocodillo.
Hey,
it sounds
now.
Like
I'm still, you know, my armor just is taking a while to come in. I'm a late bloomer.
Right. I'm just describing a true thing.
So this is where my beast mode comes in, right? I'm just going, yeah.
Like the little hands are going. But this is the thing. The thing is struggling to pick you up.
Darn toot.
You can tell Skreegulls, they're big. But they're light. They're birds still. So this thing is beating its wings heavily, and it's kind of got you above the water for a second, and then it drops you, and another Skreegull dive bombs on you. The rest of you are kind of like, oh, no.
So I'm like, ah.
Boosh. So a bunch of the Skreegulls have landed in the water and are pecking pretty viciously at Dilly. It's clear that whatever's in the water, they get real excited about.
Okay.
There's a couple on board the ship, and Madrigal has begun laying into them with his cane. And the Skreegulls are fighting back, and there's a lot of, like, fuss on board. Lefty, you can see, is hanging off the side. He sees Mr. Four land on Ugloo's back and he goes, "Cut her free so she can dive. And can you do something for Baloo? I'd swim, but I've never been good in the water since I lost my leg."
Oh, yeah. No.
Mr. Four, you are on board Ugloo. You can see a Skreegull ripping at Baloo. Two more are circling and keep diving and like kind of like snarling and snapping. These things make this horrifying scream. And every time they make one of these cries, almost everybody on board drops flat. Mm-hmm. It really feels like they're pulling or squeezing some very primal part of your brainstem. And with every one of those cries, you feel almost compelled to drop and cower. It's terrifying.
Mr. Four is going to scream back
yes.
at the Skreegles, absolutely trying to copy the same screech to sort of like stop them on their tracks so that it would give time for Mr. Four to cut the rope. I'm going to use Beast Ooh. Collar. I don't know if it counts, but I feel like it's a success to know lore about Beast once per game.
I think there's a new line in here somewhere.
Do this, like you could do this like, I did a research study on Skreegull mating calls and I managed to produce several of these calls.
Absolutely. That is one
of magical tape. You've listened to hours of magical yes. Skreegull tape.
People trust my grandpa face.
Are you scaring them or are you trying to win their trust?
You know how when babies cry and you cry back at them, they're so surprised that they're like, oh, I guess I'll stop crying because I guess we're done. So that's what I'm doing. And I have no care at all for my well-being. The confidence that Mr. Four has is I have no care at all for my well-being.
So the two most reckless members are the ones who dove into the water. That tracks.
That tracks.
Yep. I love it.
Geriatric acrobatics FTW. Let's go.
Parkour. Parkour.
And everybody drum roll.
Dumb.
Ooh, hey! That's better. Nice.
There we go.
Okay, a 6. If you use Beast Scholar, you can raise that to a double triumph, which means it will all come down to you, Dan. No pressure. Yeah.
I will absolutely raise that to a double triumph.
That will put you at 3 triumphs out of 5, leaving Dan holding the 2 triumphs in a bag with a nervous look on his tiny gnomish face. Tell me how this goes, Glyza. Describe, narrate, do your thing.
All right, so parkour off of Dali and is hanging by the horn, right? He is seeing all of these Skreegles diving in and trying to like harm Blue. So he remembers from one of his like ASMR nights where he's trying to listen to different call matings that there's one with a Skreegle that's just like a way to calm down Skreegle babies.
Skreegle ASMR. Oh my.
It's not for the faint of hearted.
I got something here. The way you listen to these recordings, there is a riftling species because almost all magic comes from riftlings. Mm-hmm. There's a riftling species that looks a little bit like hermit crabs. They leave behind something called memory shells. And if you get a memory shell, it records the sounds that it was exposed to. So people carry these as a device to record. And researchers treat these as very precious because you want to return them when you're done. So you use them for one mission and then you return them to the beach so that some other crab can find them and occupy them. So it's considered a like temporary thing. You don't keep libraries of these things because you'd be stealing the shells from riftlings.
Yeah.
But you had a bunch of these shells that another researcher lent you that you knew you had to return, and you listened to tons of Skreegull calls on these memory shells.
Yeah, tons and tons of Skreegull calls, different Skreegull calls, and Mr. Four remembered the exact one that's meant to calm a Skreegull.
So this is the parental call. This is actually a parent's call to a baby chick that's reassuring them they're coming back with food. Yeah. So this is kind of like a chill, everything's good kind of call.
Yes. I'm going to make a Skreegle call. Give me a minute.
Yeah, I'm waiting for... Come on, Glyza, do it.
But also, I'm going to have the look of a grandpa just so that I'm calming Baloo and Ugloo.
Warm, you know, adorable face. You know, horrific shrieking cry.
I'm gonna do something. Give me a minute.
I mean, if you don't want to, it's okay. I'm gonna edit in some Skreegull cries.
No, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna try.
Really good inflection there. You really that got the tonality of Screegish.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel like that was a really good Screegle sound.
Feels like lunch is on the way.
I feel calm.
You see some of the people on the barge flinch and like drop the way they do when the Screegles scream.
Masterful.
So you know you nailed it. And then what are you cutting through the ropes with? Do you have a knife? Are you biting these viciously with your grandpa teeth? I don't know. But do you rip your dentures out and just start sawing? That would be a line. My dentures are my survival knife.
Actually, I'm going to look for my glasses and I'm going to crack them use the sharp glass to cut it.
Oh, the glass.
Sacrifice.
The reason is I have multiple glasses because I keep losing them.
Okay, okay.
So I carry around a lot of them. So I got
glasses.
So I'm just going to like crack them and then just sort of like use that.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So you scream, and I'm actually going to say you shatter the glasses on the top of Ugloo's spike as you're screaming, which is just this horrifying like, and like the slam and the crack. And then you're like, yeah, and you rip the glass free and you slice away. The ropes part. Ugloo immediately dives and you are left floundering in the water, except because you had a double triumph. Literally, as you're about to drop, one long tentacle snakes down from Mr. 8 and wraps itself around your body and yanks you like a bungee cord. You can tell he's just like, no touching the water, and like whips you upward. And you are sort of flung skyward where you are embraced by a bunch of other tentacles.
Aww.
Down below, you can see Baloo is struggling to submerge. The Screegulls have landed on his back, and that one single charnacle on his back, one of the Screegulls has its beak firmly rooted on it. The charnacles are big. They're almost a foot around, and it's got its beak wedged in this thing, and it's ripping at it. You hear Captain Lefty shout, and he goes, "You've got to stop it! Those things are deep in the skin! It'll cause a horrible injury! They need the charnacles!" Meanwhile, Madrigal is currently wailing on one of the Screegulls, and the Screegull is holding its wing and kind of limping backwards and shrieking and snapping at him.
I'm thinking to approach this... since I'm going to be wanting to use my line tactician or my special tactician.
Yes.
I'm wondering, can I determine by looking at all this activity that's gone on and how the Screegulls are reacting, is there a pattern here that suggests that there's a social hierarchy? Are they acting more like a pack with a leader, or is it more like geese where they just individually take turns? Because if there's an established leader, I might have a target.
If you make the roll, you can create a Screegull hierarchy and tell me that the Screegulls are, in fact, a pack with a leader.
All right.
There's that collaborative world building
absolutely.
At play there. I like that.
Anytime you wanna create a fact about a creature by rolling a roll, by all means, say, I think this would be cool if this were true. So I'm going to roll, and if it is true, this is what I'm going to do with that. So what are you going to do if it becomes... evident that there is a leader.
If there's a leader, I think that's where I need to focus my efforts, because I think if we can cause the leader to leave, then the pack would go with them. That's my hope, because there's too many targets right now.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can do something that just
fixes
the whole situation, that would be nice.
This is why it's a double triumph moment, right? There's a lot going on here. Mm-hmm. So this is a lot to do with one roll. So tell me what you got that's going to help you out, and then let's see what we can do with it.
All right. Well, I have a drive that's find patterns in the world.
Okay.
And so I think finding the pattern of how this potential pack, how the flock at least, is acting and reacting with each other can give me some clues.
Yes.
And I've got Jinx and their super silk.
Yes.
Because my intent, once I identify a target, is to bind up their beak with super silk, cause them enough consternation that they decide to bug out.
Okay. All right. So this is your goal, is you want to identify the leader. You want to, you want to bind their beak. Is there anything else you want to particularly try to do? Cause your bees, they're fast. They can dart around creating a whole lot of silk, man. There's a lot of possibilities here.
Well, I was thinking multiple could get this, this beak binding.
What do you got that's going to help here?
I guess for a third item could be the impressive eye for detail, my trait. So again, more about spotting the little clues that might help us target correctly.
That will allow you to, okay, all right. Well, in that case, can I get a drum roll, y'all? Boom, 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 boom.
Dude, what?
Oh,
no way.
There
just
it is.
No way.
Yes. You got nice. It, Drew.
I would like to thank the Academy and also Jinx. Yes.
Dude, not fair. Double six out the gate is not fair. I was sitting here planning all the troubles. I'm like, oh, when they failed the drama clock, what's the consequence of failing? I was ready for
Me
it.
Too.
It wasn't going to be bad or nothing. I just had so much prepared. I was not prepared for unreasonably exceptional success. I did not mentally steal myself.
Well, you know what? Plans change, my friend.
So if I bump that up, does that become three sixes? Does that do with it?
Yes, it does.
Oh, yes.
So you
not
only beat the drama clock, you beat it with a triumph despair, which is just ridiculous. I will offer you this as your extra triumph. You may ask me one question that I will answer about the Skreegles because of your insight into their dynamics.
Knowledge.
So you immediately, like, you pan, and I should give you the chance, but please narrate. I apologize. I didn't mean to grab that. Go.
All right. So Drip clambers up on top of, you know, some boxes that aren't currently being attacked so that he can look around well. He actually lifts up, like, the edge of his hat so he can see out, his little eyes peering out for once. And it becomes apparent that there is, in fact, it's not a coordinator, but there is a larger Skreegle that is being deferred to here and there. It's getting the choicest pieces.
It's the one ripping the charnacle off of Belly.
It absolutely is. Exactly. And so that's our target. So Drip notices and says,
Jinx, would you be so kind as to bandage up that one's beak a little bit?
And Jinx blizzes out from the hat and swarms in, starts combat crocheting, because I love the term, combat crocheting that loop around the beak, and the Skreegle with the buzzing that's going around their head, you know, they let go finally of the charnacle, lift their head up, and as soon as that beak closes, it's zipped up tight with that ribbon. And so now it can't snap at these bees that are buzzing all around its head. It's just too much. And it, with muted noises, flaps its way up, gets up in the air, and begins to retreat. And the rest of the pack notices this and starts to follow suit.
Well, actually, so it gets bound up. What happens is it stops trying to fly and starts, like, clawing at the silk and lands in the water. And Baloo dives. And the Skreegle kind of is flopping around in the water with its wings kind of extended awkwardly. And the ones who've been harassing the cargo immediately leap up. Madrigal takes a swipe at one of them, one of the last ones. There's one who's on the deck with an injured wing, still snarling.
We need to save that one.
The others all descend upon their fallen alpha and, like, are sort of, like, circling around. Eventually, it just, like, lifts up and sort of struggles and, like, gets flapping and takes off and starts to depart. The rest go with. The one on the very edge is, like, favoring its wing and, like, shrieking, and Madrigal is stalking closer to it with his stick in the air.
No. Stop him.
I'm thinking Drip can actually hop over and get, you know, and all of his physical presence, him plus his hat, step in front of Madrigal and say something like, you would hate to get a stain on those clothes, right? And while the bees start doing some binding around on the one with the bad wing. Because my thought is we need to capture that one so it can be helped and then released.
They probably are going to start with the beak.
Yes.
So you're currently, Drip, in front of the Skreegle. Dally has come sort of behind Madrigal and picks Madrigal up in his legs, because Madrigal's still looking really ferocious, picks him up by the scruff of his coat and sets him next to the boxes. Yep. Madrigal, like, literally, as he gets set down, like, whirls around, like, whips the stick like he's gonna, like to get out of it.
Sister.
And then he kind of catches himself, and he looks at you, Dilly, and he says, I apologize. I'm afraid I was a bit unkind to your friend. He turns and he starts shoving stuff back into the box, and he says, "Get over here and give me a hand. This is precious material."
I would like to investigate why they're so, like, why a lot of the Skrulls were, I know they were after the charnacles, but I also want to know why they're so obsessed with the stuff inside those boxes.
Are you telling me you want to look in the boxes, or are you telling me you want to look at the Skrigal?
I'm going to look in the boxes, yeah, because I feel like the Skrigals are
going to
be taken care of by my two friends.
You land on the deck, and Mr. 8 gets super tiny and, like, wraps his little tentacles like a choker necklace around your neck, like in a hug. You know, this is very much like security. His little ball is right underneath your chin, which is where it's nice and warm. How do you want to do? You see Madrigal, and he's sort of stuffing packages back into the box. He's gotten a hammer and some nails from some of the barge members, and he's banging them together. It's an odd sight because he's got his tall hat. It never got knocked off this whole time. And he's wearing his fancy gloves, and he's sort of hammering things in. How do you want
to
do this?
I'm going to both peek into the box just to see if I could get a good look, and also scream a Skrigal sound behind him so he starts looking away to distract him. That's what I'm going to do.
This is a move. This is a move. This is not just you can't do this for free. This definitely, you need to roll to see if you can pull this on Madrigal.
All right. I'm going to try and do that to distract him.
Wow. That's
all right. Let's see the moves that I can do.
Okay. What do you have that will allow you? And this is going to that line, man. Okay.
I'm telling you.
Let me try and break it down. I'm going to come up to him and try to look into the box to see what's inside. And to make him get distracted, what I could do is use Mr. 8 as well, where he can just, like, change the size to a Skrigal, like his size into a Skrigal size, and just sort of, like, at the corner of Madrigal's eye, catch that attention.
So this is going to be the distraction that you need for a moment to kind of dart forward and look at the package. All right, that's two dice.
I think that's good enough. I think that I don't have another.
No, one. No, and it's good. Two die rolls are great. They're full of drama. Give me a drum roll.
Boom!
Failure.
No.
Brilliant. So what do you say to him, and then I'll help you narrate how it goes down.
I will be like, "Oh, Madrigal, that was a time, wasn't it?" "Oh no, there's another Skrigal over there." And then Mr. 8 is right there.
Like, you're like, "Oh, that was a time, wasn't it?" Madrigal just waves you away and keeps hammering. Aww. When you're like, "Oh no, there's a Skrigal." He looks and then he turns and he says, "I appreciate your care for my person. Thank you so much for looking after all of us." And then goes back to hammering and kind of like squares his back so you can't see what's in the box.
What a slimy character.
I'm going to go all in here and go, "Hey, what's in the box?"
He says, "Necessary supplies. I won't bore you with details."
But I love details.
Finishes up and stands up, takes off his gloves, tucks them in a back pocket, and pulls out a second pair of gloves and pulls them on. You notice as he's doing this, his hands are perfectly manicured. Another strange piece? So the nails are very well cared for, but the hands look like hands that knew hard labor when he was younger. So there's just a flash, and he pulls them on very quickly, almost like he's uncomfortable having his hands exposed.
Interesting.
Did you want to ask me that one question, or
the delightful
one
question?
One extra triumph.
I do want to ask a question. Triumph. So this is a question about Skrigals.
About what happened. You know, you can broaden it. Your tactician's brain is racing. You've got these multiple inputs. You know, if you were to imagine this as a movie sequence, right? Your eyes sort of zero in. You identify the little red rim. You send Jinx out. Meanwhile, you're like looking down at the charnacle, down at Baloo, down at Ugloo. You know, like catching, your brain is just racing.
My first thought is just the query of what about their actions is out of character for Skrigals? I'm totally open to ideas here.
Like, I keep thinking about like polar bears. Or bears that go into the city, they're losing their places of like where they're living, and they're like, "Oh, they're attacking humans." No, they're not. They're looking for food because they're looking for places to stay or something like that. I feel like that might be.
So I wonder, is there something that can be, since I'm taking it that actually you know, we're not Skreegle experts necessarily. Some of this has been an introduction to, oh, look, this is what Skreegle's really like. What seems out of place? What doesn't seem healthy about these creatures?
There were patches of proto feathers. So they have these little fuzzy patches over pebbly reptilian skin. There were patches of that missing. And it looked like these Skreegles had been really grooming themselves, but kind of viciously grooming.
They're stressed out.
Or an infection.
All right. So at that, you have rescued Ugloo and Baloo. You've rescued the kids who fell off. You've even rescued a Skreegle. Well done. And lucky you, you've rescued Madrigal's cargo. Well done. You really just, you helped. Everyone won. Woo.
I'm going to get a look into one of those boxes.
Yes.
If it's the last thing I do. Mr. Four is... devoted.
Anyone can do it. You can
now.
You have no care for your personal well-being, so that definitely
true. Yeah. I do not.
All right, y'all. I want to do some lines and shout-outs. I felt like there was interesting stuff that happened today. What would y'all like to do here?
Okay, I know I mentioned it earlier, but I'm super excited. So a shout-out and an encouragement for a line to Glyza, AKA Mr. Four, for that masterful mimicry. Oh my goodness. So we're seeing, I love it because we're seeing like an evolution of how you mimic behaviors and voices and sounds and intonation. And I feel like that kind of helps to explain as well how you were able to so accurately mimic the behaviors of like Madrigal before and Lefty. It's just so cool. I really loved that moment. I think we saw something really interesting about your character.
Yeah, I think this would be awesome. Like, I think agree. That's a line. Like, I am a masterful mimic of behavior and voices, or like a behavior and calls. I don't know. How do you want to do it?
What about I have an unconscious habit of copying creatures?
Because you are very conscious about it with the Skreegle, though. Like, that was a deliberate, calculated sort of
But it
thing.
Was unconscious with Madrigal.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and Glyza, you've been very clear. Like, every time somebody, like, does some gesture to you, Mr. Four has almost immediately done almost a comical reinterpretation of the same gesture back. So I like this idea of, like, I have an unconscious habit of copying creatures.
Because I have this unconscious habit, I can make a conscious attempt of remembering those habits.
Yeah, absolutely. So. I love it. Write it in. That's awesome. I love it.
Yes.
Dan, did you want to jump in here? You had something earlier, I think.
Oh, I did. It's actually the same event. I wanted a shout out to Glyza for the commitment to getting that scream on tape.
Yes.
100%. I wanted to shout you out, Dan. I really liked the way the tactician ability played out. And you did something that, to me, is a really good storyteller move. Which was, you were like, I want to say that there's an alpha. Basically, you framed it like a question initially. You were like, can I see if there's a leader? As if you were asking me to decide. And I think one of the really cool things about doing collaborative storytelling is it's also okay to say, I want there to be a leader because I have an idea if there is one. So can there be a leader? And then the easy thing to say is make a move. And the answer is yes. I just thought that was such a pro move, and I could really imagine Drip, like the way you described him, like lifting up his little hat and then his eyes like tracking all the different things on board and being like, you know, and looking for that pattern. I just thought that was dope. I really liked it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I will toss out the other thing, speaking of going for it, is needing those five successes or those five triumphs and just leaning into that, because you're right. I was also thinking of, what are all these? How could that end up being interpreted? Because I was not expecting we were going to pull it off. I was thinking, well, we help out the Riftlings, but you know, some of the cargo gets lost, or you know, where does this go, and what's that going to mean? But it's also a lot of fun when we pulled it off.
When you
too.
Win,
oh yeah.
Well, for me, the critical thing about a drama clock is having that role be really consequential, having you really care. Yeah. I mean, if it's a bummer,
it feels like a victory.
And it's amazing when you get those crazy double successes or triples. You had a triple success. It's just ridiculous. It's so over the top.
Unheard of. I can't remember the last time we've had like a triple success like that in one of these games.
It was in Partners in Grime. It was episode 2 of Partners in Grime. They were killing it and they did a triple success.
It was
ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Awesome. But yeah, I had plans for like Baloo losing his charnacle and having that be another one of your missions that Baloo, you would have to figure out how to get a new charnacle for Baloo and also care for him until you could get one for him. So I was like thinking hard on that. And then Dan was just pulled out the double six and was like, nope.
I'm not doing that. No, thank you.
Canceled out, vetoed.
Well, eventually we might have a failed drama clock. And I look forward to that as an opportunity to together narrate how fun challenges and drama can be.
Absolutely.
So much fun.
Anybody want to add anything?
I think for next time, something that I would like to see.
Ooh, yes.
Is I've still got that notebook. Dr. Denison gave me a notebook.
You haven't read it yet.
And I as soon as there is a few minutes of downtime, that's on my to-do list. I want to get that in.
I'm really excited to see what happens with the Skrigal too, because I feel like one of you might end up with a line. Yes. You might have another Riffling buddy, depending on how you play this. Like, it's always a possibility.
More friends.
And I love the fact that, Glyza, thank you for picking up what I was laying down with Madrigal. I was like, when are they going to want to know what's in the boxes? And you were like,
oh, yeah.
I smell something. What are you hiding over there?
There's something going on in that box. Give me what's inside.
So I love that, like, both the journal and the boxes. Thank you for, like, you know, thank you for sniffing after my clues. I appreciate
some hypotheses. Yep. Building.
Yeah, you never know.
I can't wait for this next episode.
Yay! Okay.
I've got to write these down so we don't forget.
Please write them down. Let's go. All right, y'all. Thank you all so much. We will see you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Scream.
Bye. Scream. Ow.